my phone out, and I got to going through and looking at all the different instances of thanksgiving in the Bible. And you know what I found out? You can go all throughout the Old Testament, and you'll find that people oftentimes were thankful for what the Lord gave them. Amen? I mean, you find David and Moses and Joseph and all these great men and women in the Old Testament. They're always thanking the Lord for all of His blessings and all of His goodness on their lives. And yet you don't find the Lord ever thanking them. I got to looking through there, and I found that on occasion the Lord is described as being glad, and He is described as being joyous, and yet you would be hard-pressed to find a place where the Lord is said to be thankful for anything. See, I believe the reason for that is this. To be thankful, you must have a need. See, thankfulness is based upon our necessity. When we say that we are thankful to someone, we are saying that they did something for us that we more than likely could not have done for ourselves. They met a need or gave to us something that we weren't planning on or weren't determined to get for ourselves. And so we are saying to another person and not ourselves, we are telling them, thank you. I'm thankful for what you have done for me. See, for that reason, the Lord never has to be thankful.
Amen.
You know why? He doesn't need anything from you.
Amen.
He doesn't need anything from me. The great truth of the Bible is that God is all sufficient. He is almighty. He is all powerful. And by that standard, God never needs anything. He never requires anything that we could give Him. And for that reason, I don't believe the Lord has to be thankful.
Amen.
But you know what I found out as I got to studying? See, I got to the New Testament before too long. And as I got over here to the New Testament, I found that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? Y'all still with me this morning? I found that the same God back there in the Old Testament that had so blessed all of those men and women, that very same God came to this world, robed Himself in human flesh, was born in the manger as a little baby, grew up and lived the perfect sinless life as a man. In other words, God was manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ, He is 100% God and yet 100% man. I know that doesn't make much sense to you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. But the Bible says it's so. Jesus Christ said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And I would say to you this morning that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is just as much God as God the Father, just as much God as God the Holy Ghost. And yet as He came to this world, He became just as much man as you and me sitting here this morning. You see, as God, He was able to stop the waters of the sea from crashing. As God, He was able to heal the sick and to raise the dead. As God, Jesus was able to read the very thoughts of a man's heart. And yet as man, He became tired. As man, Jesus became hungry. As man, Jesus became thirsty. And so you say, what are you getting at, preacher? Well, here's what I want you to get a hold of. That Jesus, as God manifest in the flesh, was able to be thankful. He was able to give thanksgiving unto God. If you look down here in our text, look down at verse 21 with me if you would. The Bible says there that in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Did you see that? That is God the Son lifting up His face toward the heavens and saying, Father, I thank You. That's God being thankful. And so this morning I want to preach to you on the subject of the thanksgiving of Jesus. The thanksgiving of Jesus. You see, because I believe that just as He is our Savior, Jesus is also the perfect example in the Bible. Amen? No one lived a life like Jesus lived. There's never been another man or another woman. There's never been anyone to walk across the face of this earth who has ever been sinless as Jesus was, who has ever been so good as Jesus was, who has ever been so loving as Jesus was. And I want to say to you this morning, friend, that I believe He is our example when it comes to thanksgiving. And I want to show you here very quickly three areas where I believe Jesus consistently
gave thanksgiving to God. First of all, I see here in our text that if you look here, Jesus has just met together with 70 of His disciples. And if you don't know what's gone on in this passage, allow me just a moment to explain. See, as these 70 are meeting together there in verse number 17, they've just been sent out to go preach the gospel of the kingdom all over the land of Judea. These disciples would go from city to city proclaiming that the King had come, that the King would reign on the throne, that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. It's not that He was the Christ. He is the Christ. Amen. And they got out there and got to preaching and teaching. And as a result, Jesus gave them the same abilities and the same gifts that He had to heal the sick and to be able to restore sight to the blind, restore hearing to the deaf. And so these disciples went out two by two from city to city, healing people and preaching to people and leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet now they've come back together. Imagine it with me for just a moment. They've come back and man, they're telling all their stories. That's one of the things I love about soul winning. One of my favorite parts I've always appreciated about soul winning was being able afterwards to come back together and say, oh, I tell you what, we talked to a lady over here and she needs the Lord. Or, hey, we talked to a fellow over here and he might come to church. And one of the greatest parts of it is when you get to come back together and tell of all the great things that God did. That's what they're doing. They've met together and they're saying, Lord, I went over here to this city and I was able to heal a man of his blindness. Lord, I went over here and we had 30 people come and believe on You. And they got to testifying and rejoicing. And finally, one of them even cried out and said, and even the devils are subject unto us. We can command them and they'll depart out of a man. And then Jesus said this. He said, I've given you all that power. And it's good, isn't it? They said, amen, it's good, Lord. He said, but don't rejoice in it. That's not where your rejoicing lies. He said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Amen. You get what he was saying right there? He said, I want you to rejoice that you know you have everlasting life. I want you to rejoice that God, when He looks at you, He knows you by name. He knows you as one of His own. You've been born again into His family. I want you to rejoice this morning that God has revealed the great truth of salvation into your life. And I want to say to you this morning, I believe that you and I too, we ought to be thankful to God for revealed truth. That's what Jesus was saying there in verse 21. He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. But He said, but that Thou hast revealed them unto babes. I want to say this morning, first and foremost, I am thankful for revealed truth, aren't you? You say, what kind of revealed truth? Well, I'm thankful for the revealed truth of salvation. The first thing I want to thank the Lord for today, and the first thing if you're a saved child of God that you ought to thank Him for, is that He has saved your soul. He didn't have to. He was not required to. But because God, our God, is a God of love, because He is a God of mercy and grace and long-suffering, He saw sinners like you and me. He saw our lost condition, and He sent His only begotten Son to come to this world. He bled and died on the cross for your sin and for my sin. He remained in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. And yet on the third day, He came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that we might have everlasting life. Can I say to you this morning, I want to say how thankful I am to God that I was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, that I was born into a family that would tell me the gospel, that God allowed me to be taken to a church where a preacher would proclaim the gospel to me. I'm so thankful not everybody got that opportunity. Not everybody got that chance. But I want to say glory to God this morning. He revealed the truth of salvation to this old sinner. Aren't you glad the Lord has revealed some truth to you? By the way, if He don't show you one other thing, if He doesn't reveal to you why you're going, what you're going through, or if He doesn't reveal to you anything out of that Bible, if all He ever revealed to you was that Jesus would save your soul, you ought to thank Him every day and every hour and every minute of your life. Hey, we ought to thank Him every time, all throughout eternity. I'm telling you this morning, I'm thankful for revealed truth. That's what Jesus gave thanks for. He said, Lord, I'm thankful that my followers got a hold of that. I'm thankful, Lord, that You allowed me to preach it to them and tell it to them. And I want to say this morning, I'm thankful for it. I'll tell you another thing. I'm thankful for the truth of that Bible. Amen. Hey, one time Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know where you can get the truth this morning? You may not get it off the media. Y'all, some of y'all bowing out on me this morning. You may not get the truth from watching the media. Amen. You may not get very much truth from listening to politics and the politicians. Amen. But when you come to this King James Bible, you will not find one word that is not the truth. Every single word, every single line, every single verse, every single chapter of this Bible I hold in my hand is God's divine truth. And you know what it is? It's revealed truth. I'll tell you something that amazes me about this book, and then I'll move on. If you had never got a hold of it, you ought to get a hold of it this morning. Y'all listening in here. Y'all listen up this morning. Get a hold of this. It'll help you. I've read this Bible, and I'm not bragging. I'm really kind of ashamed to say it. I've read this Bible over 30 times in my Christian life, throughout my years. I should have read it more than that, to be perfectly honest. If you can't get to averaging that thing out, that ain't all that much, really. I've been saved since I was right at 14 years old. And yet the Lord has allowed me to be able to read this book just over about 30 times. And yet, can I tell you something kind of amazing about it? I love to read. Y'all like to read? Anybody in here like to read? I'm not much for fiction. I don't have a lot of time for that. But I like to learn new things. I hated reading when I was in school. I hated learning when I was in school. But since I got out of school, it's the weirdest thing. I want to learn stuff. I read all kinds of things. And yet, can I tell you something? Most of the time when I pick up a good book, I'll read it and I'll enjoy it. But when I get done, I don't have any desire to pick it up again. I've either mastered it and figured it out, or I didn't get anything out of it worth going back to. Amen. Y'all still with me? And yet, I've read this Bible here going over 30 times. And every time I've read it, God has pointed out something I never saw before. Every time I've read it, God has revealed something to me that I never had revealed before. And I want to say to you this morning, if I'm thankful for anything, I'm thankful that God still reveals His truth to His people. You ought to thank the Lord for revealed truth. You ought to thank Him. You got born in a place. You got put in a family. You got put in the right location, the right time, the right place where you could get the gospel. You ought to thank the Lord that you get to be able to hear the preaching of this Bible and read it and study it and understand it. That's something that not everybody gets. And I'm thankful for it. By the way, I don't want to toot my own horn this morning. This ain't about me. This ain't about the preacher. But I just want to say every single Christian who's got a Bible-believing Baptist church to go to on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, where the Bible gets preached to them and doctrine gets taught to them, every single person's got them a good Sunday school teacher, ought to be thanking God and shouting and rejoicing this morning that somebody's revealing the truth to you. Amen, amen. Y'all may not enjoy it. I'm enjoying myself this morning. I'm thankful today that the Lord reveals truth to His people. That's what Jesus was thankful for. He was thankful for revealed truth. But I want to say, secondly, He was not only thankful for revealed truth, but He was thankful for received blessings. Over in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus and His disciples encountered a problem. Anybody in here ever encountered a problem? They had a whole lot of people to feed and a little bit of nothing to feed them with. Amen. Y'all still here? I think I've lost some of you. We're talking about food right now. You can come back in on the message, all right? Who in here likes eating? You like to eat? All right. If you like to eat, you'll like this. Anybody in here like seafood? Yeah. Seafood. No, okay. No, I'm not. That's, some of y'all get that old joke. That's the oldest one in the book right there. You'll see food. But I tell you what Jesus was doing over there in Matthew chapter 15. He just got done preaching to the multitude. And man, He was preaching to that multitude, people getting saved, people getting healed, people getting right with God. I mean, revival's breaking out. The only problem was they were out in a desert place. They were out there in the middle of nowhere. In other words, there wasn't a Burger King or a McDonald's in sight. And about that time, man, they'd been out there for hours. You know, they were kind of like how Baptists used to be. They used to be all right with going over the time a little bit. They used to be all right with spending the whole day down at the church house listening to the preaching of God's Word. Now people get mad if they're the last one at the buffet. What I'm saying to you this morning, they got out there in the desert place and Jesus got to preach and revival got to breaking out. And before too long, it'd been 4 hours and 5 hours and 6 hours and they're starting to get a little bit hungry. Y'all ever been there? As a matter of fact, they were getting so hungry, some of them were starting to faint. Some of them were starting to get a little lightheaded. And about that time, Jesus' disciples came to Him And they said, Master, Master, these people are fainting out here. They're wandering. There's nowhere to get any food. We couldn't possibly feed all these thousands of people gathered in this place. And yet Jesus lifted up and said, how much do we have? He said, well, Lord, we've got nothing here but these 7 loaves of bread and these 5 little fishes. The Bible made a point to say little fishes. You know what that means to me? These men were fishermen. A lot of them were fishermen. And if they said a little fish, it was probably a little fish, wasn't it? Probably just a little minnow. And they said, we've got 7 loaves of bread and we've got 5 little fishes. But that's nothing when you think about feeding this many people. And yet Jesus said, bring them over here. Can I read to you what it said in the Bible? I ain't going to give you the Morgan Lester International Standard Version or nothing. I'm going to give you what the King James Bible said. It said, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Can I stress that to you once again? Before he turned those 5 little fishes and those 7 loaves into a bountiful feast for that whole congregation. Hey, before he gave to his disciples and they began to give out to the rest, he gave thanks to his heavenly Father that God had provided them with those 7 loaves and 5 little fishes. I want to say thank God not only for revealed truth, but I want to say thank God this morning for received blessings. Hey, God's provided. Hey, has God put a good meal on your table today? Some of y'all, you came in here, you don't look like you're getting any skinnier. I think you probably had you something good to eat this morning. Amen? Some of y'all, you're going to get out of this church service here in just a little bit when I let you go, and you're going to head out there to the car and go down to the restaurant, go to your house and eat you something real nice and warm and good. Can I make one thing very clear? That is not, you're not going to have that meal because you're smart. You're not going to have that meal because you're any better than anybody else, because you're not. You are not going to be able to have that meal because of your hard work and your ingenuity and your ability to make money and make a good meal. That ain't it. The only reason you'll be able to dine on that feast, the only reason you'll be able to take part in that bountiful meal, is because God gave it to you, and God gave you the ability to eat it, and God gave you a good home to eat it at, and God gave you the money to go down to the restaurant. It's all because of Him this morning that we have the blessings that we have. I tell you something, I'll move on from this here in a little bit, but can I tell you what I hate to see? I hate to get out there. I try not to watch people, but I'm a people watcher. Anybody else in here like that? I go down to the food court there at the mall, and I can't hardly eat my food because I'll be sitting there just going, what is that crazy person doing over there? I get to watch it. If you're sitting there, I'm probably watching you, okay? I'm just going, you pray for me. Forgive me, but I'm probably watching you. But you know something I've noticed? You go out to these restaurants and stuff, you hardly ever see anymore. You hardly ever see a family get together and grab those hands together and say, Lord, thank you for giving us this meal. Amen. Lord, we're so appreciative, and we know that you're the one that gave it to us. Bless this meal and how you use it to nourish our bodies. Lord, help us to serve you with these bodies, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all it takes. You don't need to put you on a big show. You don't need to pray like a North Carolina mountain preacher or anything. You don't need to put you on a big show. But I tell you what, it'd be real good if God's people would get back to doing. It'd be real good if we get back to showing our thankfulness that God has put a meal on our table. God's put some food before us. That's what Jesus was thankful for. He said, Lord, I'm thankful you've revealed some truth to people. But, oh, Lord, I want to give you the thanks that you've provided our blessings, that we are able to receive these blessings from you. I want to just ask you this morning, do you have enough health to be in church? You may not have 100% health. You might have had a hard time getting here. You might have had a hard time getting up out of the bed this morning. But if you're able to get up and you're able to get out and you're able to come to church this morning, can I make one thing real clear? You ought to thank God for your health, because there are some people who couldn't do that. Hey, you sitting here this morning, you got you a good family? Some of you, you got your family sitting right here with you, right here in this Sunday service before Thanksgiving. That is a blessing of God Almighty. There's some people, they've had their mother and father deny them because they received Jesus Christ. There's some people out there had a mother and father forsake them before they met Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, it is a blessing to have a mom and daddy who love the Lord to take you to church. It's a blessing to have some children and some grandchildren who will go and sit beside you in the church pew and listen to the preaching of God's Word. We ought to be thankful this morning that God has given us blessings to receive in our church. I tell you, I'm thankful this morning for my health. I'm thankful this morning for my family. I'm thankful for my home. I'm thankful for a job to be able to pay the bills. I'm thankful for a good church to worship the Lord in. I'm thankful for a car that'll run to get me here. I'm thankful for a warm meal on my table. I'm thankful for all the blessings that the Lord has given me. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful? The truth is, we become unthankful when we start to think we're owed it. When we start to think it's owed to us, amen. When you start to say, well, you know, I work harder than other people. That's why I've got the things I've got. Can I tell you something? You may work harder, but that ain't why you've got them. Amen. There's some people out there working a lot harder than you are, don't have anything. By the way, if you grew up and you live in the United States of America, you're rich. I don't care, the poorest American on this earth is more wealthy than some of these people over there in Africa and India and over in China and North Korea. Amen. I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it again. We're the only nation on earth for poor people, where the poor people can go drive their car down to the welfare office to pick up their welfare check. Amen. We're rich. We're blessed. But you know why? It's not because we're smarter. It's not because we've got a better government. It's not because we're anything special. It's not because we are stronger and mightier and more powerful. It's none of those things. You want to know why we've got blessings this morning? As a nation, as a church, in our homes, and in our lives. Can I tell you why you have the blessings you have? It's from the Lord. Amen. The Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Jesus was thankful for revealed truth. He was thankful for received blessings. But I want to say last of all, Jesus was thankful for God's response to prayer. So what do you mean? Well, I won't have you turn there, but suffice it to say that over in John chapter 11, another problem sprung up. See, Jesus and His disciples, they had a certain family down in Bethany that they were very close to. They were just about like family. See, they had old Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus that had often blessed them and helped them along life's journey. Jesus was far off when He got word that Lazarus, well, He got word from the Lord, amen, but His disciples were far off when they got word that Lazarus was dying. They said to the Lord, He said to them, we got to go. And they said, Lazarus, is he sick? Is he dying? He said, no, he's already dead. He already sleeps. And they got to making their journey down through there. While the whole time down there in Bethany, Mary and Martha and the rest of the family, they were making funeral arrangements. Jesus finally came to the place where Lazarus lay. He'd already been in the grave for several days, already been wrapped up in his grave clothes, already had the stone rolled up to seal the tomb where he lay. As Jesus walked up, He saw those crowds crying and mourning at the loss of a life at such a young age. And the Bible says at that point Jesus wept. I don't exactly know why He wept. There's various answers that people give. But all I know is He looked out there and He saw that. And He wept. But can I tell you what He said next? It kind of makes me wonder if those tears weren't tears of joy. Because here's what I read next. In John 11 verse 41, the Bible says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes, and I want you to hear real good what He said. Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. A few moments later, Jesus turned His eyes to that tomb and He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you say, what happened? Lazarus got up, got out of his grave clothes, walked right out of the tomb, just as healthy as he was the day he was born. You say, why? Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said he should live. And by the way, Jesus is God. He didn't have to ask the Father to heal anybody. Amen. Amen. He didn't have to ask the Lord to help Him heal anybody. He is God manifest in the flesh. He had the power within Himself as a member of the Godhead. And yet, you know what He did? If anybody had less reason to pray, it would have been Jesus. I mean, Jesus, all He had to do, if He wanted food, was say to those rocks, be bread, and He had bread. Amen. All He had to do if He wanted to pay His taxes was say, hey, go down there and get you a fish. He's got the money in His mouth. Yeah. I mean, that's Jesus. Hey, he gets caught out on the waves and getting ready to be killed and looks like the ship is about to go down. All he has to say is, "Peace, be still." The waves stop, the thunder and lightning ceases, the sun comes out, everything's still. I mean, as God manifests in the flesh, Jesus didn't really have to ask for anything. If anybody could live without prayer, it would have been Jesus. If anybody could have lived without thanksgiving, it would have been Jesus. And yet, you know what he said? Now, I don't know all this. I'm reading into it a little bit, and I'll tell you that. But let me just describe it to you. I want you to get a hold of it, and I'll be done. I imagine Jesus for those several days as they journeyed down toward Bethany. The whole time they're down there wrapping up Lazarus' body. The whole time old Mary and Martha are down there getting the funeral arrangements together, getting the mourners and the song singers and the preacher, everybody, getting everybody all set up to go. They're paying the funeral home and getting everything taken care of. But you say, what's Jesus doing? Jesus is making his way down to Bethany. And I get to thinking about it in my mind's eye. And I think of Jesus that first night lifting up his head toward heaven and saying, "Lord, I'm going to go down there and raise up old Lazarus. But Lord, I don't want to get the credit on it. You're my Father. I want you to get the credit." He said, "Lord, you raise him up." He went down just a little bit further. And that next night he said, "Lord, I know you hear me because I'm your child. I'm your son. But Lord, I'm just going to pray to you and say, isn't it going to be exciting when Lazarus gets up out of that grave?" He went down another day's journey, got down there before going to sleep that night. He said, "Oh Lord," he said, "I just want to tell you that I know you're able, and I know that through you I'm part of you and you're part of me and we're one and the same. And thank God this morning, I'm so glad I can now experience what it is to be thankful and trust you for the answer." And Jesus goes on there. And about that time, he shows up there. He didn't say, "Lord, heal him and I'll be thankful." He didn't say, "Lord, raise him up and I'll be thankful." He said, "Father, before you ever brought him up, before he ever came out of the tomb, before you've ever answered the prayer request, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." I wish you'd get a hold of it this morning. Some of you maybe you are, but some of you ain't getting it. I wish you'd get a hold of it though. Jesus saying, "Lord, thank you that you've heard me. It's not just that you've done what I wanted you to do. It's not just that you've answered the prayer the way I wanted it to be answered. It's that it is a blessing worthy of thanksgiving that you would even hear me." Now if Jesus could say that, Jesus is sinless. Jesus is God in the flesh. If he could say that, how much more ought you and I? That God, the God that fills all of creation, the God that spoke the world into existence, that set the sun, the moon, and the stars in their place, and that holds it all together to this very day, the God that could speak the waves still and could raise the dead from the grave, that God, the all-powerful, all-holy, almighty God of all creation, he hears me and answers my prayer request. I tell you, if you got nothing else to thank God for this morning, friend, if you're a child of God, if you've been saved by grace through faith, you can thank him this morning that he hears us, that he responds to our prayers. I want to say to you this morning, if Jesus, as powerful and as holy as he is, if he could be thankful, if he as both God and man could be thankful toward his heavenly Father, how much more ought you and I? We're going to get ready to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. I don't know if you've gotten hold of it. I hope you have. But no matter what's going on in your life, can I make one thing real clear? None of these things are dependent on your happiness. None of them are dependent on you getting everything you want. The things that Jesus was thankful for, the things that he rejoiced in, they were eternal things, weren't they? Answered prayers, blessings from God, revealed truths that God has given us, God turning the lights on, revealing his truth to us. Has he done that for you? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're lost. I don't know. I don't know your heart. But if you are, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I make one thing very clear? The Lord's trying to turn the light on for you. I won't even say that. Let me rephrase it. He ain't trying. He don't have to try. He's already done it. The Bible said that when Jesus came to this world, it was as a light shining into a dark place. Can you imagine that? Like He took a great big spotlight and shined it out into the darkness of the night. He's shining that spotlight on you this morning. He's shining that light in your direction. You say, why? Because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what you need to do this morning? You can't be thankful without God. Do you realize that? The silliest thing in the world is for an agnostic or an atheist or a skeptic to say, oh, I'm thankful. What are you thankful for? Amen. What are you thankful for? Who are you thankful to? Say, well, I'm thankful for what other people have done for me. Yeah, but you think that they only do that for you because you're something special. Because you've been good enough to earn those friendships and those companions, right? Wasn't God that caused them. Wasn't God that created them. It's just because you're so likable. So what you're really saying is, I'm thankful for me. Well, I'm thankful for the food I have on my plate. But if God isn't the one that gave it, can I make one thing very clear? All you have to thank is you. Well, I worked hard. I put in a good day's work. I've made some money, got my paycheck. Now I can go out and have me a nice meal. See, everything without God, it's self-centered. Maybe that's you this morning. You say, oh, I'm ready for Thanksgiving. I'm ready for turkey and dressing and everything else. But you don't know who to be thankful toward. Can I tell you who you need to be thankful toward? The true and living God, the Savior of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for your sins. He died so you can have a home in heaven. And He lives forevermore. The Bible says you don't have to work to be saved. You don't have to work to stay saved. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it is not reckoned of works, but of faith, but of grace. If it was reckoned of works, God would have to give you salvation as a debt that He owed you. And God's not in debt to you. Salvation is a free gift. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The only thing you and I have to do is believe on Him, receive Him as your Savior this morning. Would you come to Him and be saved? Maybe you're sitting here, you've been kind of down in the dumps, depressed. I understand those things happen, and I'm not knocking you for it either. Why don't you come this morning and say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Lord, help me, before we head into this week, help me to get my thanksgiving back. Help me to realize who I need to direct my thanksgiving toward. Amen. I believe the Lord will help you with that if you'll come. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach. I pray now that You'll take this message, use it for Thy glory and honor. Lord, we thank You for all You've done, all that You're doing in our life, and Lord, we want to thank You for all that You're going to do. Lord, before You found me, when I was lost, I had nothing to look forward to. The next day, the next little joy, the next little fun thing to do, that was about it. But Lord, when it came to eternity, it was all downhill from there. Lord, I'm so thankful since You found me, since You revealed the light to me and You saved my soul. Lord, it's nothing but up from here. Nothing but good from here. Lord, I know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes straight from You. Lord, help this church to realize that this morning. Help them to get a hold of it. May we go out of here truly being thankful to You for Your blessings in our life. Lord, if there is one here who's lost, I pray more than anything this morning they may come and get the greatest gift they'd ever received. Help them to get that gift of salvation. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it and for His sake. Amen and amen. If the Lord has dealt with your heart this morning, whatever it may be about, why don't you come as we sing?